the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
James Gagan, Fine Gael TD, is in the studio with me, but I'm going to start with Padraig Tobin, the leader of Aintu, because tonight at 7 o'clock, you're having a protest on O'Connell Street outside the GPO about the redevelopment proposals recently made. Why so?
So the GPO is the most important physical symbol of the struggle of Irish independence. It is an extremely important physical connection to the independence struggle, which obviously led to the freedoms that we have at the moment. That our freedoms, if we were like, were forged with the blood, sweat and tears in that building. The rights of every minister in the Dáil to govern comes directly from the sacrifice made in that building. They're actually very sovereignty that they're using in terms of changing the use of that building comes from the sacrifice that was made in that building. And we believe that given that the importance of that building, we should have massive ambitions in turning it into a significant part of a cultural quarter linked up with Moor Street, which celebrates obviously the revolutionary period, celebrates our culture, celebrates the arts, the language, the music of this country, and becomes a engine of rejuvenation for that north inner city. And if you look at the state of Moor Street, for example, at the moment, Moor Street, instead of being a market with the vibrancy of the Borough Market or the Camden Market in London, Moor Street at the moment is a place of dereliction. It's a place of drug taking, urination and defecation. And I think that Moor Street and the GPO are the most important battlefield sites in Ireland. And yet this government have shown already their complete disdain for that heritage by allowing for Moor Street, which is next to the GPO, to fall into such dereliction over the last 20 years.
We'll get back to Moor Street in a moment. And I understand exactly what you're saying because I have walked it many times recently. But the GPO currently serves as the main post office in that thing. It has a museum there. It also has commercial office facilities for on post. That's been the way it's been for many, many years. There's also the GPO Arcade, which is a retail development. All of this put in place about a century ago when a decision was taken not to raise what remained of the GPO to the ground, but to actually revitalise it, to rebuild it. So if there was commercial elements and retail elements in what was done 100 years ago, why are you complaining now about an update for the 21st century?
Well, just compare and contrast. So in 2022, the GPO Museum on the 1916 Rising took in 46,000 visitors. In 2023, the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam welcomed 1.2 million visitors. So what we're dealing with is a complete contrast in terms of the ambition for a site of such importance.
Even the Titanic, what are you suggesting? Making it compulsory to visit the museum?
No. But I mean, anybody that's gone to the Anne Frank Museum, for example, in Amsterdam, have been struck, first of all, by the fact that it's completely immersive. It is dressed up in exactly the same manner that it was in the 1940s. So a person in there experiences nearly some of the tensions and the stresses that would have been experienced in that home. When they look out of the window, they actually expect nearly to see, you know, German soldiers outside. It's so immersive, it's so convincing, it's so educational, and it's so powerful. And what we have in comparison in our capital, in the most important building in the capital, is a pale reflection of what could be achieved if we had the ambition to do it. And I'm even thinking of the Titanic Museum in Belfast. Like, it has received 7.5 million visitors since 2012. It takes in millions of euros of profit on an annual basis in providing a experience for people that they're so hungry for, that would be so valuable to the country, and that actually would do justice to the sacrifice of the men and women of 1916.
And okay, but Padraig, a bigger, better museum. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But what about the fact that the site already accommodates substandard and outdated commercial office space, and that's what Impost used for it, and also has the arcade behind it, which is retailing, that basically that already exists there. It's a question of bringing it up to date for the 21st century.
See, I think, you know, if you listen to the government's ambition, the government want to bring in mixed-use retail and office space for that building. Well, you know, this, you know, instead of that, what we could do is look at the proclamation of the Irish Republic, which is, in many ways, is the birth certificate of our nation. And we could look at the objectives of the proclamation and actually say, well, maybe we should use some of that office space in terms of trying to fulfil the objectives of the proclamation. You know, obviously, Aintu is a big supporter of Irish unity, and we're moving in that direction in terms of demographics, in terms of support in both jurisdictions. And we should actually decide maybe to use that office space to see how can we build a country where we have an all-Ireland economy, an all-Ireland health service, an all-Ireland education system, a country that's spatially developed as one. So reflecting the objectives of the men and women who died in the proclamation and actually repurposing the building to achieve their objectives in our generation.
James Gagan of Fine Gael, why not do something like that rather than going after grubby mammon looking for money from selling things and from making commercial office space available to a corporate entity?
Thank you, Matt, and thanks for having me on. Look, I think your listeners and maybe even some of the protesters outside the GPO this evening that show up for the Aintu demonstration might be both a little bit confused and disappointed between what Pater is saying the use of the building should be and what the government is saying, and equally how important the government views the building itself being the most centrally important building, in my view, in respect of the foundation of our state. So I just want to be clear. The only reason we're talking about the redevelopment of the GPO is because of a Dublin City task force that was established by then Taoiseach Simon Harris. The outworkings of that report were completed by an interdepartmental group under the new Taoiseach Micheál Martin. They published a roadmap for delivery, and at the heart of that was that the redevelopment of the GPO would be central to the rejuvenation of O'Connell Street to align it with things that are happening in that part of the city. We're talking about the Parnell Cultural Quarter, the reopening of the Ambassador Theatre, and indeed the National Monument that will be taking place on Moore Street because of what the state have built there, or sorry, what the state have purchased there in terms of number 14 to number 17 Moore Street. And in terms of what could be put into the GPO, there isn't a single line in any government document, in any government proposal, that talks about commercial office space contained within the GPO. What it talks about is the building remaining in public ownership, perhaps the redeployment in some respects of government departments and civil servants into the building, but at the heart of it is the promotion of its cultural use. You rightly outlined the existence of a museum. It's a good museum, but I personally think we could be way more ambitious, and that's what the Dublin City Task Force recommended. And in addition, what else is going on in the GPO? There is the retail postal offering, which again, the government have made absolutely clear must remain in the context of any redevelopment of the GPO. So what is going to happen next? Well, the OPW, the Office of Public Works, who only are responsible for public buildings, are going to carry out a wide review consultation in respect of what use ultimately can we best leverage every part of this building, what you might describe as the heritage part of the building, which is currently unoccupied because On Post left their 500 workers from there, and all that's left is the retail postal offering and the museum. And then there's the other element to the building, which you might describe as the sort of retail offering, where essentially for decades there have been private leaseholds, shops, GPO arcade. And what the report has said is we need to look at all of this in the round in terms of how can we best maximise the building. But it's central to that is how do we promote its cultural use.
Do you have confidence in the Office of Public Works to actually come up with something that would actually be worthwhile and then been able to actually maybe build it on budget, given the experience we've had with overspending by the OPW in recent times?
Well, the most important thing is that we get the process of design and use correct. And in the roadmap for delivery, they've been very clear that, for example, they're going to publish a tender so that we can have external advice in terms of how do we best maximise the use of this building. And in terms of what I would like to see as the end of the process is that you get very clear investment in the expansion of the museum. I mean, Pater talked there about the Anne Frank Museum. That is a museum I visited. And there's other good examples around the world. I'm thinking of the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. The GPO Museum, for anyone who's ever visited or even walked into GPO, is a very good museum, and anyone who comes to the city that has an interest in history, you'll see the walking tours going alongside it. But the most visited destination in Dublin City right now is the Guinness Storehouse, and like that is a magnificent tourism destination, reflecting the incredible importance of Guinness to the history of our city. But the most visited destination in our city, in my view, should be the GPO, and it should be able to tell the story, not perhaps just to the history buffs, but to the most maximalist audience possible, the central role that that building, and also to reflect the heroism of the incredibly ordinary people that that made sacrifices that none of us can claim ownership of. No political party can claim ownership
of. It doesn't sound like you're very far apart at all. This sounds like something of a contrived controversy.
Well, so just compare and contrast the words in Fine Gael with their actions. So the location where the O'Rahilly was killed in a hail of British bullets is now an outdoor toilet. The Moore Street itself, which is an extant 18th century terrace, which was the location where the soldiers of 1916 fled and burrowed their way through the building, the government have allowed for an international developer to come in and give them permission to smash through that terrace. The O'Rahilly House in Herbert Park was demolished. Bodenstown, the location of the burial place of Wolfe Tone, is now turning into a commercial cemetery where if you pay a higher price, you can actually get buried closer to the actual grave of Wolfe Tone. You know, and the Fine Gael, former Fine Gael Minister for Heritage actually went to the High Court to appeal a decision of the High Court to put Moore Street into a national monument. And so, you know, we have no municipal museum in Dublin at the moment. So James was a member of the council for many years. We're one of the few European cities without a municipal city museum in this situation. So the government's record in terms of respecting our heritage, promoting our heritage, using it as an engine for development in our city is absolutely shocking.
Okay, and I need to finish up, so I need to give James Gagan the last word. Moore Street, there has been proposal after proposal and promise after promise, and shag all has been actually done. So why should we have any confidence that on the back of this latest redevelopment proposal anything will happen?
Well, there's two things I'd say to that. The first thing is that the state has intervened in respect of Moore Street, and it did purchase buildings 14 to 17 Moore Street, and there is going to be a national monument, and they've already, you know, assigned €12 million.
That was promised very little has actually been done.
Well, the answer to that is because it's been caught up in court processes in relation to opposition to the other development on the privately owned site. And in terms of the Herbert Park example, unfortunately, the O'Rahilly home was knocked down. That was again a privately owned site. But what I would appeal to Padder and indeed Sinn Féin, who sort of started up this, what I describe as a trumped up controversy, is actually just to engage in the process in a way that reflects the unity that existed in Ireland in 2016 when we had our centenary of commemorations. We all turned on our televisions and we saw the GPO in its best and its brightest way. And we've continued on essentially the ceremonies that were established on that day. And there was a great feeling of unity. And we shouldn't use this building. It shouldn't be weaponized, because in truth, Padder knows, and so does Sinn Féin, they know what is stated intention of the government is, they know what's in the documents, and they know there's going to be a process of engagement. And just like any other process of engagement, everybody should get involved in this. And if he's aligned, in my view, of, and indeed the Dublin City Task Force view, that the cultural use of the building should be central to its rejuvenation, let's all work together on that to achieve this, and so that we can actually rejuvenate that part of the city centre that badly needs investment.
James Gagan of Fine Gael, Padder Tobin of A&2, thank you.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.